millennials are worse off financially than their parents were at the same age. That's according to a new report based on Federal Reserve data.
Comparing 25 to 34-year-olds today to the youngest group of baby boomers back in 1989, the report finds today's young adults make less money, have fewer assets, and are less likely to own homes.
Tom Allison is the lead author. He joins us now for a look at the report and possible solutions to the economic challenges facing young adults today. He's deputy director of policy and research at the group Young Invincibles. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it.
Well, lay it out for us, big picture. How much worse off are today's young adults than the last cohort of baby boomers were?
Well, you can choose the measuring stick that you like. But of course, across virtually every indicator of financial security that we looked at, millennials really are doing worse than their parents were at the same age. So this we wanted to do a full generational comparison between young adults today and baby boomers when they were around the same age, 25 to 34 years old. And we found that pretty much across the board, millennials are doing worse. They earn less incomes, they're less likely to own their own home, and they've certainly amassed fewer assets and net wealth than their parents had at the same age. So this is pretty concerning. I think even just looking at the fact that millennials are earning 20% less in terms of median income than their parents were at the same age, this is going to be a canary in the coal mine. This is going to show in financial indicators down the road that, you know, young adults are going to have a harder time to save up for retirement, to, you know, save up for a down payment on a house. So really, all together, you know, millennials are doing worse. And considering the fact that they make up a plurality of the workforce now, they're a growing population in terms of the population overall. This is really more than just a young adult problem. This is a problem facing the entire country.
Let's dig into those numbers a little more. You mentioned 20% lower wages. This is in inflation-adjusted dollars, as I understand it. I mean, what is behind that? Why are wages so much lower now for this generation of young adults?
Well, there are certainly some larger trends around globalization, automation, and technology that I think are impacting everyone that don't necessarily make this generation of Americans unique. But one of the things we wanted to do was to dive into the aspects that make millennials unique in the first place. And so there's sort of three ways to describe that. First, this is the most educated generation the country's ever seen. We pursue post-secondary education at higher rates. Second, unfortunately, we have to finance that education with a lot of student debt. Student debt has tripled over the last decade. It's now the $1.3 trillion in total student debt outpaces even credit card debt. And third is diversity. This is also the most diverse generation the country's ever seen in terms of the non-white population. And we uncovered some pretty scary trends there as well. So in terms of why this is, I mean, I think there's an intersection here between college never being more important. Employers are demanding post-secondary skills and training, and actually claiming they're having trouble finding the right workers, which we can get into that later. But at the same time, because of a lot of state divestment from public higher ed, that essential education that is the best pathway to financial security is more expensive than ever and requires a lot of student debt just to get started. So you got, on one hand, you've got these big macroeconomic trends of globalization and technology, and on the other hand, you've got states slashing their higher education budgets, no longer willing to support a quality, affordable higher education for its residents. And so, you know, today's young people are starting, on average, $30,000 in the hole in student debt. So the $200, $300 that are going out of their pocket every month, that could be going to saving for retirement or even short-term savings. That could go to saving up for a down payment on a house. So, you know, the thing about economics is a lot of this stuff is interconnected. Nothing's happening in a vacuum. But certainly when I think about just how important a college education is, but then unfortunately just how expensive it is and how it really is holding today's young people back from being able to make some of these larger larger purchases and build assets more generally.
And Tom, staying on education for a moment, there is still an education benefit. You come out better wage-wise nowadays if you have a college degree than if you don't. But if I read your report right, today's college graduate is actually making less in inflation-adjusted dollars than 1989's high school graduate. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And that was actually one of our more disturbing stats. So Young Invincibles, we're a research and advocacy organization dedicated to expanding economic opportunity for young adults. And young adults ask us all the time, you know, is college still worth it? It's so expensive. I had friends, maybe an older sibling, that went to college but was unable to find a job afterwards. And we're seeing that in our data. The fact that, like you said, a high school graduate in 1989 is earning the same amount as a college graduate today is very disturbing. Now, there are a few details in there in terms of lifelong earnings. Those folks with a college degree can expect a premium throughout their working life. And so we certainly encourage everyone to, if you're interested, to pursue some sort of post-secondary education or training. It doesn't have to be a four-year degree. It could easily be a two-year degree or even a vocational certificate that's of high quality and backed by a legitimate organization. So, yeah, you know, we have to keep both of these in mind in terms of college never being more important. It is the best defense to these large macroeconomic changes that I mentioned. And we see it in the data. Even though that wage premium has declined over time, and that, you know, again, college graduates today are earning similar incomes to high school graduates 25 years ago. In the big picture, young adults with a college degree are more likely to have purchased their own homes. Actually, the home ownership rate has increased a couple of points for college graduates between boomers and millennials. And that's a rate that's declined overall. And also, folks with a college degree are more likely to have saved for retirement, opening up their own retirement account, have more more money in those retirement accounts, but also amass greater assets and wealth as well. So, you know, it's like the old President Truman adage about give me a one-handed economist. Well, on one hand, college is really important, but on the other hand, it's really expensive. It can expose you to risk.
Talking to Tom Allison from the group Young Invincibles about economic challenges facing millennials. Tom, you mentioned millennials, a diverse generation, and in your report, you found some worsening of news when it comes to economic gaps racially.
Yeah, so, you know, there are these persistent racial and ethnic gaps that we see across the country, and, you know, we shouldn't be surprised that there's still some disparities currently. But again, because our report really wanted to compare boomers to millennials, that's why we did this generational comparison. So we did find some pretty disturbing trends. For example, young African Americans have lost ground on many financial indicators, but median net wealth has declined nearly a third from 1989. And that's really disturbing when we think about the fact that the incomes are already so disparate, and we know that how median income can inform these larger financial indicators down the line, like assets and retirement and home ownership. But then also just thinking about the big picture of where we are as a country. Today is Martin Luther King Day, and we've been thinking a lot about racial justice, racial inclusion, and closing some of these gaps. But unfortunately, it really looks like we're heading in the wrong direction. And I think we're going to have to be explicit with that problem and work together to try and find some solutions because, again, this is a very diverse generation, just like how college is not going to be less important anytime soon. Well, the country is not going to turn around and get whiter anytime soon. So, you know, we need to respect that diversity. And just kind of stand up and say, like, look, this matters. This is a big deal that, folks are, the gaps are widening. They're not closing. And as we think back on a day like today about all the progress we've made, I think it's just as important to recognize that we've got a long way to go.
Tom Allison is with us, author of a new report from the group Young Invincibles, looking at the financial health of millennials. The news, mostly bad, with significant declines in wages, wealth, and home ownership compared to baby boomers at a comparable age about three decades ago.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. If you're a millennial, does this ring true for you? Are you worse off than your parents were at the same age? What's your outlook for jobs and income, owning a home, or saving for retirement? If you're the parent of millennials, are the kids all right? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking to Tom Allison from the group Young Invincibles, looking at their new report on the financial health of millennials. The main finding, millennials today at age 25 to 34 are worse off than baby boomers at the same age in 1989 when it comes to wages, net worth, and a number of other measures.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this your story? If you're in your 20s and 30s, are you worse off than your parents economically when they were that age? What kind of challenges do you face? What could help you out? If you're the parent of millennials, what do things look like for your kids? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Eric starts us off in Hilton. Eric, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What do you think?
Well, I'm a 31-year-old millennial myself. We are a single-income family of four. I support everybody on my salary, so maybe I'm considered lucky in that way. But one of my concerns or questions, I guess, is with the wage gap being so different, is it that millennials in that younger age bracket are willing to accept lower salaries, that we're not negotiating as hard as maybe we should be? I guess that's kind of my question.
Eric, thanks for the call. So, Tom, millennials maybe just not negotiating enough in the job market?
Sure. Yeah, thanks for that question, Eric. Well, for one, you know, millennials, about half of millennial workers work in the service industry. So either in food service and restaurants, or in some form of hospitality. And I'm not sure how much income negotiation is possible there. So I think that a lot of folks are out there are just trying to get the job they can get and take the incomes they can get. Now, you know, at the same time, you know, we've done a lot of research on how a lot of today's young adults entered the workforce during the recession, when young adult unemployment was well above double digits for multiple years, right? So there's, you know, I think as high as 13% at one time for young adults in terms of the unemployment rate. So in conditions like that, I think it's much harder for young people to, first of all, to find the job at all, but secondly, to negotiate the salary once they're there. But, you know, now we've reached kind of near regular, quote-unquote, young adult unemployment. So I hope to see young folks, you know, more engaged, feeling you know, more fulfilled and aware of their value and what they can contribute to an employer, and that might be a good place to start. You know, in terms of you're looking at slightly more recent data, last year was the first year that millennials had gotten a raise in terms of a rise in median income since 2007. So maybe there's a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, but it's certainly slow going right now.
Eric, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Jake in Eau Claire. Jake, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
So I just graduated University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, in December from their nursing program. And so I'm actually working around one job full-time and then two jobs part-time. And paying bills is really hard. And my thoughts compared to my parents' generation is that we have more bills now. So cell phone, cars, gas is more expensive. Cars are more expensive. And then college as well. I think, you know, my parents' generation paid a couple hundred dollars in administration fees, and I got, you know, 20 plus grand of student debt. I feel like I'm only chipping away at.
Jake, thanks a lot for that call. Tom, there's that student loan debt. I mean, he got a job in nursing, a degree in nursing, definitely an in-demand occupation, but those student loans are going to stick with him for a while, it sounds like.
Yeah, it sounds like, you know, nursing definitely is a good, you know, career to go into, a lot of demands, and that gets into a the kind of position that does demand that post-secondary education and training. But, you know, Jake's exactly right. I mean, just in the last 6 years, tuition in Wisconsin has gone up 20%. That's largely due to a very similar 18% cut from the state budget in Wisconsin. So we actually rated Wisconsin a D-plus in our annual report cards grading every state for their budget support for higher ed, nothing to do with the quality of the instruction. But it is leaving students out with about $28,000 in debt in the median. So, yeah, college has gotten a lot more expensive. You're right, a lot of different goods are, and a lot of the minimum thresholds for consumer goods, like cell phones and the like. But healthcare and child care has gone up a lot, too. So one thing I think people forget is that, you know, 81% of new mothers are technically millennials. And that makes sense, you know, young women having children. But when we think about this increased pressure on young folks' ability to build assets and wealth, the skyrocketing costs of child care and health care is hitting them just as bad as education in a lot of ways.
Jake, thanks for that call. We are talking to Tom Allison from the group Young Invincibles. New report there looks at the economic challenges facing millennials. Any way you slice it, the millennials today are doing worse than people their age were in the baby boomer generation back in 1989. Beth is with us next in Stevens Point. Beth, hi.
Hi. Yes, I'm a parent of millennials. I have four sons that are between 17 and 26. And back when I was in my 20s, I was making $7, $8, $9 an hour working, and food, entertainment, rent was way cheaper. And now my children are making very similar hourly wages that I was making, except that they're having to face $500, $600 rent prices in places like, well, one of them's in Honolulu, one's in Madison, and the minimum wage is still the same. So it ends up impacting us as parents because we kind of find ourselves making up the gap. So it really affects the whole family.
Beth, thanks a lot for that call. Tom, what do you say?
Yeah, Beth, isn't that crazy, the fact that you would be making similar amounts to your children, you know, 20 years down the line, considering inflation and how costs have gone up? That really is crazy. So definitely one of the agenda items we have in our report is to push the federal minimum wage up to $12 an hour. A lot of folks are looking to 15, but we feel like, you know, $12 an hour is a way to mitigate any negative consequences from loss of employment. But, you know, today's minimum wage workers are disproportionately young folks and young people of color. So we really want to, increasing that minimum wage to $12 an hour is going to put money directly back in their pockets. And so that's something we hope to see this year.
Thanks a lot for the call, Beth. We've heard from someone on Facebook and a caller I won't have time to get to, Tom, but the idea that this is on the millennials themselves. They're entitled. They get if they get a degree, it's not in something there's demand for, not a work ethic, things like that. What do you say to arguments like that?
Well, today's young adults are extremely committed to hard work. They're creative. They've brought about a technological revolution. The fact that you read that question on Facebook, built by a millennial, I think is appropriate. So the young folks I talked to today are still optimistic, and I think they're already today's leaders. But I think, you know, we're in good hands with their creativity and commitment. And also diversity as well.
Tom, you mentioned a couple of policy changes there that could be part of solutions. The knock on young people of any generation is that they aren't always as politically engaged. They don't vote. They don't organize. Do you see the beginning of movements like that among millennials to get together and work on policy issues that might solve some of these problems for them?
I think so. I mean, our thinking here is that, you know, the President-elect Trump did not enjoy a particular amount of significant support from young adults in the electorate. So I think, you know, thinking about how this generation is going to be the future leaders of the country. I do think that the new administration and Congress is going to have to take a close look at these trends and look at some of our policies, that about half of which have some record of bipartisan support, and think long and hard about what the decisions they make and how that's going to impact the young adult electorate down the road, because we're voting in higher numbers. And again, this is not about generational warfare. This is really about all of us coming together as Americans and finding the solutions that are going to protect the most vulnerable, but also grow the country overall.
Do you think we can get past the idea of generational warfare? I mean, every older generation thinks that the younger generation is a bunch of slackers. I think I can say that going safely back to probably ancient Greece. Can we get over that?
Sure. I certainly hope so, and I think we're going to have to. You know, I'm 32, so I'm slowly aging out of our age bracket here, and I look forward to helping the next generation, whether that's some tips and tricks in economics and research, or sort of whatever aspect of mentorship it is. And then also, you know, I want this generation to be successful and enter AARP when it's their time. And you know, for today's seniors, you know, I really hope that we can improve some of the economic situations for young adults now, so that our tax dollars can continue supporting systems like Social Security and Medicare.
We'll leave it there for now. Tom, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hey, Rob, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
We've been talking to Tom Allison. He's Deputy Director of Policy and Research at the group Young Invincibles. You can find information about the group's new report on millennials and their economic outlook and how they compare with baby boomers, the youngest baby boomers back in 1989. Find that info over at the Central Time Facebook page, and you can still share your thoughts, maybe your experiences while you're there. That's at the Central Time Facebook page.